So the reading is on page 45. It's Genesis chapter 41. Are you sitting comfortably? And this follows on from the cupbearer having been restored back into Pharaoh's household and forgetting Joseph. And when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 ears of corn, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears of corn sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 healthy, full ears. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them. Then the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now, a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 magnificent cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up. They were scrawny and very ugly and lean. I'd never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 ears of corn, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other ears sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin ears of corn swallowed up the 7 good ears. I told this to the magicians, but none could explain it to me.
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears of corn are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless ears of corn scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance of the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Verse 53, the 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Joseph. Please may you teach us from it now. Help us to learn from you and about you, and to see how it might change our lives as well. May I proclaim it faithfully. Amen. So, I wonder if you've ever had to wait a long time for something which was promised. We, Crystal and I, have promised Scarlett, our daughter, a bike when she's a bit bigger. But it's been over half a year now since we first made that promise, And to her, that must seem like ages. It's like a quarter of her life. And no bike seems forthcoming. It will, though. We also have been waiting and hoping for our kitchen to be finished for the past month or so. And yet, day after day, we wait for a builder to maybe arrive or make some progress. And it doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. But what about the promises that God makes? Jesus promised that he would return and make the world right again. We've been waiting for that for what seems like forever. How do we cope with the waiting? Well, as Debbie said, we are continuing our series this summer looking at the latter part of the book of Genesis and following the story of Joseph. And if you've been here in previous weeks, you'll remember that as we look at Joseph's life, we're also asking ourselves the question, how is God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis 12 going to be fulfilled? Remember, God promised Abraham that his family was going to become a great nation. He promised great blessing on them, and he promised that the whole world would be blessed through Abraham's family. Now, not only that, but how are Joseph's dreams going to be fulfilled? 2 weeks ago, back in chapter 37, we heard that Joseph had some dreams. God showed him that he would be exalted and that his whole family would bow down to him. But by the time we get to chapter 41, it's been 13 long years since Joseph had those dreams. And so far, things don't seem to have gone that well for Joseph. He infuriated his brothers so much that they threw him into a pit and sold him off to be a slave in Egypt. He did quite well working in the house of Potiphar, as we saw last week, but then a false accusation led him to be thrown into prison. And so we pick up the story here in chapters 40 and 41. Now, we didn't have chapter 40 read, so let me quickly summarise what happened. We've got two of the king's officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, who offended the king. So he threw them into prison, the same prison that Joseph was kept in. And whilst they were in prison, they both had dreams that troubled them. They didn't know what the dreams meant, but Joseph is able to interpret them. He tells them both what will happen to them, which is restoration for the cupbearer and death for the baker. And it happened, just as Joseph had said. And just a couple of things that I want to pick out from that chapter that you might be able to see on page 44. First thing, Joseph continues to trust in God and acknowledge him in the circumstances that he's in. So if you're looking on page 44, verse 8, when Joseph is asked about the dreams, he says, "Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So we see that here Joseph is still enjoying a close relationship with God, and he recognizes that it is God who enables him to interpret dreams. He doesn't claim the glory for himself. But we also see that that Joseph is desperate to get out of the situation he's in. So if you look at verse 14 and 15, But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I've done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon. He's been separated from his family for about a decade now. And he's desperate for his suffering to come to an end. So he asks the cupbearer to remember him when he's restored to his position. But we see the last verse of that chapter, verse 23. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So, on to chapter 41. And this seems like an appropriate moment to break for some group discussion. If we've been here for the past few weeks, you know that each week we've been gathering together in groups and having a think about the passage for ourselves. So here we go again. A few questions to prompt your discussion. How do we see God at work in this passage? What does Joseph feel about God? And how do you feel about waiting on God's promises? Off you go. Okay, let me interrupt your conversations there. I don't know. 5 minutes just doesn't seem enough, does it? But no communion today, so hopefully more time to discuss the passage later. Now, there's lots that we can learn from this chapter, but this is my main point for today. God rescues the world through his man. So, week one, I said that God's man would be exalted despite being rejected. Last week, God's man is faithful despite being unfairly treated. And this week, God rescues the world through his man. So, back to the start of chapter 41. You might imagine Joseph thinking, well, what is that cupbearer doing? Surely he would have gotten me out by now. A few weeks pass by, then a month. Several months go past, and you can imagine Joseph's hope of being remembered dwindling away. A full 2 years go past before God intervenes again. Now, this time it's Pharaoh who has the dreams, and they are pretty troubling. In verse 8 of chapter 41, we read that he wakes up and his mind was troubled. He must have known somehow that these dreams had some significance. And so he gathered together all his magicians and wise men, but no one was able to explain the dreams. Seven fat, healthy cows being swallowed up by seven thin and ugly ones. Seven good ears of corn being swallowed up by seven thin ears. What did this all mean? And at that point, the cupbearer is jolted out of his forgetfulness. He tells Pharaoh about Joseph and his previous successful dream interpreting. And Pharaoh gets Joseph out of prison and presents his problem to him. And again, we see Joseph giving the glory to God. Look at verse 16. "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Even now, he stood in front of the most powerful person in Egypt. Joseph doesn't give in to the temptation to try and make a name for himself, but rather he recognizes that God is his ultimate master, and he tells Pharaoh what God has revealed to him. So over the page, verses 28 to 32, he starts, "God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do." And 32, "The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon." Hang on a minute. Have we had something like this before? Two versions of the same dream. Joseph must have been painfully aware about the two dreams that God had given him over a decade previously. Those dreams about him being exalted, lifted high, whilst his family bowed down to him. Why hasn't that happened yet? Here he says that having two dreams means that it's been firmly decided by God and that God will do it soon. But Joseph's still waiting, 13 years later. I think it's amazing the confidence that he has that God will carry out Pharaoh's dreams, even though his are yet to come true. Well, as the rest of the passage unfolds, we get to see how God is going to exalt Joseph and how he will use him to save the world. Pharaoh recognizes that Joseph has God with him And he makes him like the prime minister over Egypt. Read verse 39. Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. At last, Joseph has been raised to a high position. After all the ups and downs he's experienced so far, he's now the second most important person in Egypt. But we see that he's been put there for a reason, so that God can rescue the world through him. The events that Joseph describes in Pharaoh's dream all happen. 7 fruitful years followed by 7 years of famine. But due to Joseph's careful planning and organization, there is plenty of food to go round. And the whole world is blessed through Joseph. Look with me at verse 57. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because famine was severe in all the world. We see, in part, how the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12 is fulfilled. The whole world is blessed by Abraham's family, because God put Joseph in the right place to save them from the certain death from famine. But this isn't the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to bless the world through Abraham's family. At this point in the story, the world is saved from physical death. But again, this week, we see that the story of Joseph foreshadows the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. Jesus, who saves the world from spiritual death. The problem that we face now isn't sort of physical famine, but it's our separation from God, spiritual famine, because of the way that we treat him. But Jesus on the cross takes the punishment that we deserve, and he saves us from the terrible consequences of our rebellion against God. God rescues the world through his man. And although we start to see the Genesis 12 promises fulfilled in this chapter we've seen today, Joseph's dreams are yet to come true. His family are miles away, back in Canaan. Joseph is still waiting. But in the next 2 weeks, we'll see how his dreams are finally fulfilled. But how does this chapter apply to us? Well, I guess it should help us remember that God is faithful, and he will keep his promises. For us, the waiting may seem unbearable. It may take forever. But God will keep the promises he makes to us. There will be a day when Jesus returns, and the whole world be made right. So let's trust in God's promises. Let's live in the light of them. Like Joseph, keep acknowledging God in the things that you do, and trust him. And finally, I'd like us to rejoice and trust in God's rescue plan. The rescue plan that he used Joseph for seems very unlikely, as does his rescue plan for us through Jesus' death on the cross. But salvation comes through God's man. So let's trust in the rescue that Jesus gives us on the cross. And let's rejoice that God chose to rescue us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you long for reconciliation with your people, and that you send your man to rescue them. Please may we trust and rejoice in that. Amen.